for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God. We open up our hearts to receive your word, not the word of a man, but the word of God and like God talking directly to us. We welcome your word, Lord. We welcome your Holy Spirit to unveil and reveal the word to our spirits in Jesus' name. We give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. All right. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 20, chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. As we prepare our hearts and minds to receive communion today, we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus, God's liquid love. God's liquid love. The blood of Jesus, God's liquid love. And so it says here in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, excuse me, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Everybody say faith in the blood and faith in Jesus. So in other words, we talk about faith in what his blood has accomplished, what his blood has done, what his blood is doing, what his blood will do. Amen. And we're also talking about faith in Jesus's finished works. His death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection and his ascension. So it's faith in what Jesus has done for us. Isn't that good? So we're going to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ today. And so we have to always understand that when we do this, this is a covenant meal that we partake of. This is just not taking up bread and juice or snacks per se. We are actually honoring the blood and body of our Lord. How do we honor him? Well, we release faith in the blood of Jesus. We allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin, its forms and manifestations. We honor the blood like that. You know, every day, in a sense, we should get into a habit or a practice of saying, thank you for the blood, Lord. And I honor the blood. And I thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin, its forms and manifestations. You shouldn't go very long in your week or in your month without honoring the blood. Because we don't know what's out there trying, and right in our presence, trying to get us into sin. And we said last week, when we sin, we let the devil get in. Amen. So we apply the blood by pleading the blood of Jesus, by faith, daily, regularly, accessing God's presence through the blood because of our call to preserve and persevere in the faith. Hebrews 10:19 says, through 22, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Did you know we can walk right into God's presence? How? Through the blood. You know, when he sees us through the blood.
He sees us through the cross. He sees us through the resurrection. He sees you raised up, seated next to him. He doesn't see you as some worm, some beggar, some outcast, some misfit. His blood, Jesus' blood, made you worthy to come right into the presence of God without any sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, or inferiority. The blood sets up your meeting with God. That's what the whole mercy seat was about in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. He said the blood was poured over the mercy seat. They took the blood of bulls and they put it, and see, right then, you can have a meeting with God if the blood is acceptable. Now the blood of Jesus has been shed, you can set up a meeting with God. You may not can get a meeting with your boss. It may take you several weeks. You may not can never, I know that's bad English, get a meeting with the president. That may take you several months or a year. Or they may not even get elected, be elected at that time. But you can get a meeting with God. How? By the blood. Every time you release faith in the blood, you set up a meeting with God. Amen. Because God said, that's what that word propitiation we just read in Romans 3 means. That means mercy seat or meeting place. Propitiation, how's the meeting set up? By his blood. Through faith in it, through faith. That means, in other words, through faith in the blood, we set up a meeting. Hallelujah. All right. Now it goes on to say this, verse 21, Hebrews 10, 21. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. So our faith released in his blood is simply faith in his finished works, the accomplished facts through his death, burial, and resurrection. And as we simply said, faith in the blood. Everybody say, I got to have and I must have faith in his blood. So you start at the cross. That's why he said, do this in remembrance of me. What does this represent? His body was broken. That's the bread. You can't see it very good here. There's a little cracker on there. And he said, and you seal it with the blood. Every time you do this, you remember me, what I did. Hallelujah. So what Jesus did for us through the blood, listen to this very closely, was the greatest demonstration of love that has ever been. So we talk about love. You can't leave out the blood because this is the greatest love act. Right here. That he gave his all for us. He laid down his life for who? For us. We said love is the only weapon and the main solution that can solve the problems that tear people apart. Perhaps you've had a long distance relationship with God. You hadn't talked to him for a while. Well, you're going to need love. And you're going to need the blood to reconcile you back to God. You know, last week we talked about Christians. As Christians, we're supposed to love unconditionally, sacrificially, and personally. Love, as we defined it or described it, is an unconditional and selfless or unselfish commitment and care shown to an imperfect person. He said, every time you take this, you remember how much I love you. You should remember how much I care about you. Because this means I gave you my all. I gave you my best. Because he poured out his blood for you. Now, Friends, our Father God, our Jesus, our Lord, so loved us unconditionally, sacrificially, and personally on the cross. He shed his precious blood and died for us, our sins. He was buried and raised from the dead and purchased our eternal redemption and salvation to God. Sometimes we don't realize how much he's covered us and taken care of things for us. Like we said before, you know, there's any time, the one Bible scholar said, you know, any time, any moment, any season of your life, God's doing 10,000 things for you. Now, you may not recognize but three. But at least thank him for three. Hallelujah. You know, if Satan had his way, he'd have killed all of us before we came to Christ. Because we live a whole life without God. You know, it's the mercy of God that we're sitting in a chair this morning. It's the mercy of God that we're hearing the word. You think about countries, third world countries, they don't even have a Bible translation. They may have a chapter. In some countries, I'm told, through missionaries, that they may be able to get one Bible, and they have to split it up between 100 people. Excuse me. So everybody gets a page. And that Bible may be the book of Matthew, for example. And you get the first chapter with all those names. That's all you get. But they're so appreciative of it, and they're so thankful for it, that they treasure that. Because that's part of the blood covenant. The whole Bible is been joined to us, all the promises of God, particularly in the New Testament, which are better promises based on a better covenant. They're joined to us, wow, by the blood. So God said, I love you so much, I gave you over 3,000 promises, more than you can count and recite and remember. I've given you so much because I love you so much. And what sealed it? What ratified it? What established it? His blood. Romans 5:8. I'm reading that in the New Century New Testament, 20th Century New Testament. But God put his love for us beyond all doubt by the fact that Christ died on our behalf while we were still sinners. God saw us down the road when we were 10 and 12 and 15 and 20 and 25, and we slipped and fell and we stumbled into sin. He said, I've already taken care of it while you were still sinners. Hallelujah. See, the blood of Jesus is liquid love that flows from the very heart of God. It is the greatest expression of the Father's eternal love for humanity. We all know the scripture, right? For God so loved the who? He didn't say he loved only the church. He said he loved the world that he gave his what? The only begotten Son. His greatest gift, his greatest treasure, his most priceless and precious Son. Amen. So while we remained in filthy, ugly state of sin, the precious blood was poured out on the cross, redeeming us from the chains of sin and restoring us to right standing with God, and which was the costliest sacrifice in history. Everybody say, thank you for the blood, Lord. So while reaching into heaven's holiest place, the blood of Jesus extends to man's lowest place. And the blood of Jesus frees mankind from Satan's dominion and carries with it righteousness, mercy, redemption, reconciliation, and healing. Everybody say it with me. Righteousness, mercy, redemption, reconciliation, and healing. What do you need today? He said, I got a table spread, this communion table, and this represents everything you need. Everything you'll ever need. Woo! Glory to God. The blood of Jesus is alive even now today and proves God's relentless love for us. That's why he said, go back and take this and remember what I did. Remember me and what I represent in your life. I'm not just not a cross around your neck through a chain. I'm not just a picture on the wall, perhaps. I'm not a statue in the corner of your house somewhere. I am alive. And the blood of Jesus is still alive today. So through faith in the blood of Jesus, we can live in the reality of our redemption, because the blood liberates us from the curse of sin, depression, sickness, and poverty. Now, if you on our email circuit, I sent out a couple of notes this week about cares and worry, because, you know, the Holy Spirit prompts me and says, you know, a lot of people get into discouragement or depression. And they open the door to that through carrying cares instead of casting their cares. Did you know God did all this not so you can walk around with a head full of burdens and a heart full of care? He didn't want you to go back into oppression and depression. Come on now. Y'all hear this with this morning? See, the blood of Jesus provides real solutions to real problems for real people. You know, it's not just a symbol. This is significant to our freedom. This is significant to our breakthroughs. This is significant to our righteousness, our mercy, our redemption, our reconciliation, and or, if we need it, our healing. Amen. How do we apply it, Pastor? By believing it, speaking it, we can apply the blood of Jesus to every area of our lives. Amen. We can say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. Now, how many of y'all played spades before? Anybody? Okay, we all play spades. Familiar with the game? Okay. Now, just take the jokers out, because sometimes we play with jokers and not, I mean, those folks that play spades. What's the top card in the deck? Come on, tell me. Come on. Come on, don't act like you don't play cards. Tell me what the highest card is. The what? The ace of what? Ace of spades. So the ace of spades is a trump card, right? That's the... Nothing can beat the eight of spades, right? You know, I got at least one win if I play what? The ace of spades. Guess where the blood is? The ace of spades. When you stuck, when you situated in a situation where it looks like there's no hope and no help coming, what do you do? I plead the blood. Now, there was an evangelist one time who was doing his ministry and going around having meetings, people getting saved, healed, delivered, set free. So the devil got mad. How many know the devil gets mad when you start serving God? How many know the devil gets upset when you think about, okay, I'm going to commit a little bit higher, a little bit stronger to Christ? So he's like, oh, no, you're not. So he's driving back home. He has a little bit of land, property. He's got about 7 acres or so of property. And he said he in the seven and a half acres. And he had a little farmhouse, little animals and stuff. And as he's driving home, the devil, I mean, you know, devil show up sometime in your car. They show up sometimes in your living room and try to harass you, because he brings these thoughts, ideas, suggestions in your head. And so he shows up in his car and says, you know, I'm going to kill your kids. I tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm gonna put rabies in some foxes around your farmhouse and around your property, and they're going to bite your kids. kill him. So what did he do? He went home, got the kid, family, the wife, and the kids together, and he told them the threat that the devil had made. And they were going to counteract or contradict and cut off that threat by what? By the blood of Jesus. Because we have what? A covenant with God. Everybody say, I got a covenant with God. So that means you get to use the blood. You get to throw down. You never lose the ace of spades. Come on now. Are y'all here with me? And so he said, we're going to take communion now. Then the Holy Spirit says, see, where the blood flows, the Holy Spirit falls. And so he said, go out to your property. So he walked around his property, all 7.5 acres, and he drew a bloodline. Now, he didn't pour blood on the ground. He didn't kill any of his chickens. He didn't kill any of his dogs. Because, see, that's going backwards. Everybody say, it's the blood of Jesus. It's not blood of animals. It's not blood of birds. He put the blood right around his property line, walked around his property. And he said, I put up a sign in the spirit, said, the devil, you keep out of my property. You will not touch my kids. He put around his fence line where his property was. Everybody say 3 weeks later. So he's walking around his property line, and he finds not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 dead foxes. So here's his property line right here. The foxes are dead right there. 5 foxes were dead around his property line. What happened? Everybody say the blood of Jesus. The devil can't cross the bloodline. The devil can't cross the bloodline. So you got to hold the blood over your kids, even when they're in public schools or private schools, right? Because if somebody shows up there with a gun and wants to shoot up a classroom, guess what's holding the blood? What's covering your child? Everybody said the blood. Everybody said the blood. The blood of Jesus. I remember one of my spiritual mentors, he said he was in 3 total car accidents. I mean, the car was crunched like a sardine can. Just crushed like a soda can, like you just put your foot on a soda can. It was just crushed. And he totally walked away with it unscathed, glass all over him, a few cuts on his face, but he was basically no broken bones, no bruises in that car accident. How did he walk away? He walked in. He said he was a teenager. He said it was a little wild. He was a little radical. He was a little rebellious. Because he's hanging out with some, as he said, deacon kids. He was a preacher's kid, but he said, I was hanging around deacon kids, and we all getting in trouble. He tore up 3 cars as a teenager. How do you escape that? His mama was rocking in her chair. She said, I've been pleading the blood. While you out there running around acting crazy, I was pleading the blood. That's how you were able to walk away from every car accident without an injury. Somebody say hallelujah. Everybody say God's liquid love. So in Galatians, again, we read it during offering teaching, but I'll read it again. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might become upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right? And so the curse has been taken away and lifted by the blood and what the finished works of Jesus. But what has he given us in exchange? We call it the great exchange. He turned our curse into what? A blessing. Now, that's legally done. It's legally recorded in heaven. But how do we get it vitally and faith visibly in our lives? How do we get it vitally and visibly in our lives? Everybody say, through faith, that we might receive the blessings of Abraham that might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So even though it's actually recorded, we have to activate it, appropriate it, and assimilate it in our lives through faith. Now let's go back to Abraham and look at that, because the first covenant God cut with man was with Abraham. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 15. And it says here, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Now, he wasn't even Abraham at that time. He was still Abram. Abram, in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. Now, look at somebody next to you and say, are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Look at somebody else next to you. Don't be afraid. Now, remember, at this point, Abram had already moved away from all of his family. Now, some people feel real secure with their family, but what if God tells you to calls you out and calls you up? Your family wants to stay behind sometimes. They want to pull you back down like crabs in a bucket. No, don't, you ain't going nowhere. What are you talking about, serving God? Uh-uh. You got to be over for dinner every Sunday. Nothing wrong with that. But some people find only comfort and only security in their family. But God said, I'm calling you up to start a new family. I'm building a holy nation among you. I'm starting a whole new generation. So Abram was a little afraid. Now, come on now. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Sometimes when God calls us to do stuff, we're like, man, are you kidding me? You know, that's why I celebrate and just really get really excited about 18 years, because every year is like the fear of the enemy tries to come and say, yeah, y'all do something else. Because doing ministry and doing taking ventures with God is sometimes in the natural scary. Are you listening to me? Okay, so he said, don't be afraid. Then he says, I am. I love it. He reaffirms himself. I am your shield. Your exceeding great reward. God. Woo. You imagine just telling, I am your. I'm your personal shield. I am your reward. I'm your blessing. And Abraham said, Lord, what God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? Now, skip down to verse 8, guys, because I want to skip ahead to that point. Verse 8, Genesis 15, 8. Because he told them, go out and look up. Right in between. Count the stars. Can you count them? Now, listen, can any of you guys count them? It's a lot. It's a lot, right? They're countless. Can you count the sands of the sea? Can you number them? Well, we like Abraham. And he said, so shall your seed be. But Abraham was still having a little bit of waffling. He was still wavering a little bit. And look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. He said, Lord God, how shall I know? How shall I know that I will inherit this family that I can't even number? These descendants coming from my loins, and my wife's dead. We passed childbearing age. How shall I know that your promise will come to pass in my life? That's when he started to cut a covenant with him. Praise God. Somebody said, glory to God. He said, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. He said, I'm getting ready to cut a covenant. Now, to cut a covenant, which means just simply to bleed, to cut. It's an agreement. And it's confirmed through the shedding of blood. It's ratified through the blood. And I'm going to use the illustration here. I'm going to use a couple guys here. That good to see them again. So which two of y'all want to come? Jeremiah, Cameron, Terrence? Let me bring all two of you. Okay. All right, Cameron, Terrence. All right, so Cameron's going to play God. You're going to play God. You stand with me. All right, let's give these guys a hand. Let's give them a hand. Putting them on the spot, nervous. They're all over social media now. Look at everybody's looking at you. Make sure you don't have anything crusty around your mouth. Clean your face up. Okay, guys. I knew these guys since they were real little. So, all right. All right, so he's Abraham. All right? Terrence is Abraham. So what did God do with Abraham? So Abraham told him to get the covenant pieces. So he just act like you grabbing a ram, turtle dove, pigeons. Okay? You lay them down in a row. So he laid them down in a row. And then what God do? God, Cameron's going to put his brother down and just set him down on the floor right here next to the podium. Yeah, sit down. Yeah, so you can just face that way. Yeah, I know everybody can't see him. All right, so you can lay it back against this podium here. Yeah, so after he gets because you got to do your own getting in the word, right? You got to go find the scriptures that promise you would. And then God says, cut them and leave a trail in the middle of blood. So he did that. You already did that. We just pretend you already did that. And he said, then God calls Abraham to fall into a deep sleep. Everybody said, thank God. We couldn't mess it up. So we couldn't mess it up because he's cutting a covenant with us. And he said, I can't have you messing up and trying to interfere with it. So he calls a deep sleep over him. There's some other things in there, but I won't share because of time. And then now, God's walking in between those pieces with a burning furnace and a smoking lamp. Now, he's over there snoozing, so he's acting like he's asleep. He doesn't even see what's going on, but God shows up in the middle of his sacrifice and starts walking. Now, walk in a figure eight direction. Just walk between your brother and come back here in a figure eight. Figure eight. No. Just right in here. Just draw eight. Just keep walking in a figure eight. So he's walking in a figure eight pattern. Figure eight represents eternity. Never ending. Eternal. So God couldn't find anybody greater than himself. Hebrew said he swore he couldn't find anybody greater. He swore by himself. Abraham's down here sleeping, and he said, surely in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you. He's telling him, I'm going to do it through not only my promise, but I'm going to make an oath. That's what the smoking lamp and the burning furnace in both hands. I don't have that, you can't illustrate that. But, you know, he's swinging that through as he's walking in that figure eight motion saying, I promise you, now I'm swearing an oath to you that I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to say what I do and do what I said. I'm going to fulfill my promise, and surely in blessing, I will bless you and I will multiply you, and nobody can take it away from you. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, hallelujah. Now, he said, when Christ redeemed us from the curse pronounced by the law, it's so that the same blessing that came upon Abraham will come upon us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Wait a minute. We always give blessings for people who help me minister. Praise God. Thank you, God, for playing God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wasn't that good? See, the same thing happens to us when we put faith in the blood. How do I know you're going to heal me? How do I know you're going to help me? Put faith in the blood. And it's already done. It's guaranteed. You know, as people do with playoffs, the big games next week, you know, by the way. Remember? One of my teams is in there. So I got to put it in plug. Guaranteed. that God's going to do it. See, he's a covenant making and a covenant keeping God. If he said it, if you have faith, he'll get it done. It puts him to work. He said, okay, I promised it. Now I will provide it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, we exercise faith in the blood. It brings to life. He brings life, healing, victory, blessings, and restoration to us. Andrew Murray said this once, the blood has so availed, so powerful in heaven, and over half of all the powerful over hell, it is all powerful in the sinner's heart too. It's impossible for us to think too highly of or to expect too much from the power of Jesus, of the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood. Amen. Andrew Murray said that. Look at this. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood. You're supposed to be healed. You're supposed to be blessed. You're supposed to be delivered. You're supposed to be free. Praise God. Everybody say, I'm supposed to be free. He said, the forgiveness of sins and the rich according to the riches of grace. Ephesians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. What is redemption again? It is what our Lord Jesus Christ was doing when he died for us on the cross, shed his precious blood, and raised from the dead by God his Father, and carried his very own blood into the heavenly holy holies. What price did Christ pay for our sins and purchase our salvation? 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but from the aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers. You couldn't pay for your sins, and you still can't pay for your sins. You can't pay for your healing. You can't pay to get off drugs or get off alcohol, addiction. You can't pay for it. Amen. Only the blood. Everybody say, only the blood. But the blood, precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. It says in verse 19, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself in heaven, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, Dr. Marilyn Hickey and her husband, Wally, who's in heaven today, pastor of a church in Denver, Colorado, and they had asked, a lady had asked, can I paint this room? I think it was a utility room or a classroom or something like that. And they kind of let her do it. And, of course, when she painted it, you know, it was, they call it unsightly. It was ugly. So he said that they said, oh, my goodness, this is not what we had in mind. This is unsightly. She thought she was going to impress him with her creativity. But you know how many people get offended sometimes when and people don't accept everything we do. And so, anyway, she got mad. And so, in the process of time, she was trying to call her, but, you know, Marilyn Hickey said that the lady kept hanging up on her. Now, she had been studying in the blood. That's why we're doing this fasting, to immerse yourself. You need to become blood conscious. Everyone here online and in person needs to be blood bold. Hopefully I'm helping you stir you up about that. You need to be blood bold and blood conscious. So she was really blood bold and blood conscious. She said, I'm taking Philippians 1:2. You said in your word, Lord, that by him you reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether on earth and things in heaven, things, and have made peace through what? Peace through the blood of the cross, of his cross. So I'm going to use the blood of Jesus in this situation over this lady who's mad at me, who won't even pick up my phone. Y'all know how people cut you off? They leave a conversation in a group text, or they block your number. Oh, my God. They block your calls. They block your number. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And so she used the blood. According to Lots 1, faith in the blood. She said, according to Lots 1:20, I claim reconciliation with this sister to myself and my husband. They were the pastors. It's not good when you're in strife with people. It's not good when you're separated and having a strenuous relationship with people, even in your own family. You got aughts or schisms. But the blood is God's liquid love. Love reconciles. Love restores. Somebody said glory to God. And so she used that Colossians 1:20 and said, I claim reconciliation. That afternoon, the lady called her back. After a few days of not even answering a call or not even returning a message or a text, she called back. She said, I'm so sorry. I was mad at you, offended. So long story short, they got back together. She said, I got a key. Everybody said, I got a key. You got a key. This word, this scripture works if you put faith in the blood. She said, I use it now for people even in my family going through a divorce and separation. Because he said he reconciles everything in himself. How does he reconcile things? Through the blood. Everybody say, through the blood. Through the blood of his cross. Through the blood of his cross, he can reconcile. So if you got somebody that's running out there estranged from you, you can say, I'm just going to put my faith in the blood. I'm not going to put my faith in myself, because if myself, I'm trying to convince them and persuade them to talk to me. Call me back. That ain't working. What works is the blood. What works when you put faith in the blood and the blood goes to work in their heart, because it reconciles everything from heaven to their heart and through their heart, so they can come back. Now, this is for somebody who's needing family peace, who needs to cool down the jets of storms and struggles in their marriage. You and I are supposed to be peacemakers, peace seekers, and peace keepers. How do you do that? You can't do it without the blood. Because so many people are mad, angry, and get offended real quick. It's like a landmine, a bunch of landmines out there. You got to navigate through. You need the blood. You need God's liquid love. Somebody say hallelujah. See, when we're confronted with truth, true believers will turn away from their darkest walk in the light. When's the last time you used the blood in your family? Maybe you're struggling with your parents. Maybe you're struggling with your siblings. Maybe there's a struggle with an extended a relative or something. The blood still works. We always sing that famous song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but what? Now stop right there. Nothing. Nothing can wash it away. Nothing can wash away the struggles. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. Amen. Praise God. There's nothing in us that the blood can't cure. There's nothing in us that the blood can't change. There's nothing in us that the blood can't take care of and cure. Somebody say, glory to God. See, it goes on to say, I'm saying, when confronted with the truth, the true believers will turn away from darkness to walk in the light. They will walk back towards the truth of God, who God is, and to the restored fellowship. That's the process called repentance. It's the process by which God forgives and cleanses through Christ's blood. See, we have forgiveness or remission of sins, which is the forgiveness and the removal, the cancellation of penalty and the removal of guilt. That's a love feast then. That's a love feast. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, I want you to take your cups. And we're going to pass around the cups in a minute, but I want you to stand with me. Stand with me right now. See, the blood of Jesus is only your only protection and provision, like that ace card, ace of spades, that works every time. But you have to apply it. How? By faith. The struggles, perhaps, in one area of your life or maybe a relationship area of your life can be eradicated, eliminated, and terminated. You can terminate all the relationship struggles and strains. You can terminate all the ugliness, the ungodliness that may pop up between you and that other person. How do you do it? By the blood. You know, Jesus said, go to the table, judge yourself. Make sure you don't have any violations of the love walk. You're not harboring or holding on to unforgiveness. You let it go. You say, God, I need your blood to cover me and cleanse this situation. This is too chaotic right now. Amen. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? It's good to go to sleep and know that you're not mad at 50 folks, or you don't have 50 to 500 people mad at you. Amen. It's good to go to bed where you have no aughts against anybody. The blood is God's liquid love. Everybody bow their heads and close their eyes, please. No one looking around. Thank you, Father.